So recently, I guess 2023 is when I started really becoming, once again, a high volume reader. 25 books a year.
I envy you because I don't read.
Well, I think the key is
that surprising to anyone?
The key is have trouble sleeping. And then a little iPad, and I don't read actual books. I know a lot of people, including my old friend Dan in Southlake, would always frown on digital reading because he likes a nice stack of books. And a lot of people are like that. My son's like that.
I prefer when I do read, which is rare. I do prefer the physical book. I don't want a Kindle or an iPad.
You know what? I like the iPad because you can read it while your wife is sleeping and you don't annoy her. And maybe even better, it travels so well. You have your entire library on your iPad. And you don't have a room full of books all the time that are just stacking up that you're never going to touch again.
Maybe that would actually make me want to read.
I kind of like it, and then the entire world's bookstore is on your iPad as well, and you're just one click away from whatever you want to read. So, anyway, I've been doing 25 a year now. That seems like the right pace. It's about two a month, but then the bonus book, and that's the one I'm on right now. So I am 50% of the way to my 25th book, and I've got 3 weeks. I mean, this is going to be easy. There's nothing to this final book.
Such a grinder. Like, I still look at it as homework. Like, I still have the high school English mentality where if I'm reading for pleasure, I still will flip ahead. Oh my God, I have 250 more pages of this.
Well, there is an element of checking something off your to-do list that I hate that my entire life is like that. Like, it's just one task after the next. But the cool thing about reading a lot is you never have to say what's my next book, because during the course of reading, you automatically go down other rabbit holes of, oh, I gotta get to that one next. I gotta get to that one next. I got like 25 on my next books to read list because I have found them from authors I think are now great or just whatever the case may be. And it's just been a really, really fun year with that. And then the other thing that I have found, and I was exchanging notes with somebody this weekend about just finding ways as a dad to relate to your kiddos, and they're getting older and time is fleeting. And so with my boys, I'm not saying we have a full-fledged father-son book club, but this is the year that we went through at least three different books with Brett and I, and now Justin wants in, and he's reading them, and it's a really fun thing. So,
like, you have little discussion groups?
Well, I mean, they're picking the books, so I'm staying out of it because I'm not going
to... They need to be engaged.
I'm not going to make them read a book about, you know, Chris Chelios or something. Like let's do something you're into.
Do what?
Which is how we ended up with the insane first assignment was Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy.
Yeah.
And I'll just say that is really, really off the deep end to first read that book and then to read it like as the first father. Brett had it in his head he wanted to read this book. It was a difficult read. It, for a lot of reasons. Abstract, not particularly easy on the reader, but also topic matter that is tough. Blood Meridian is not your first book.
Is that blood?
But then we went from that to the three of us diving into Gates of Fire. Awesome. Awesome book.
Gaze of Fire?
No, of course. You heard it correctly the first time. Gates of Fire, which, what's the best way to describe it? It's Stephen Pressfield, and it's his account of the Battle of Thermopylae. Do you know what that is?
No.
Do you know the 300?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that's the Battle of Thermopylae. That's Sparta and the Greeks versus the Persians, and it's awesome. And so we've all gone through that book, and it's fantastic. And then Brett was calling for the ball after we got done with the Gates of Fire and said, "Hey, what about No Country for Old Men," which is the one we just finished. And No Country for Old Men, also Cormac McCarthy, but I believe it was a little later on. His skills were a little more refined, and it's a much, 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 much easier read. Especially, you've seen the movie five times. Mm-hmm. So this is, I don't think it's normal for the book and the movie to be so identical. And it's not completely identical, but it does feel like you're reading the movie. Like you're reading the script, because that particular movie, which is one of my favorites, they took right from the pages of Cormac, the Coen brothers, in adapting that. Like sometimes they, you know, people say the book is better, or, you know, they sort of resemble each other. This is at times word for word. Like everything is exactly as you see it in the book is on the screen. And so all three of us got done with the book. And so the other night, let's fire up the movie and watch it again. And that was really fun. So, you know, it's just father-son stuff. That
had they seen the movie before?
Brett had, Justin had not. And so, you know, it's kind of big brother, little brother. Hey, you got to see this. You got to read this. And I love that they're now doing that. And I love that it gets them offline a little bit. And you know, there's so many great elements of reading. But really the biggest one is you're not laying in your bed for 45 minutes scrolling, because that time could be used for something that isn't built to make you mad, which is what social media seems like it's now. The algorithm is built to make you crazy.
Yeah.
And
or horny.
Yeah, well, there's different levels of crazy, right? But I do see I do see that the way Twitter has developed is like the algorithm, especially during football season, man, it is just like it's almost set up to feed you rage bait from like the other team that week.
Right. Yeah, that's why I hardly ever go to the For You feed.
But it's default on your phone. It defaults to it, which you have to actually press out of it.
Yeah.
Isn't that maddening? They don't even let you opt out of it. But a book has nothing to do with anything like that. It's not trying to get you to pull you offside with sports rage bait about, you know, Avs fans taking shots at Miko, or Eagles fans, you know, taking shots at Dak, or political nonsense, or just all this stuff. Like, a book doesn't do that, man. A book is, it's just words, man. It could be about anything,
man.
Take you anywhere. Read about your band. Read about some historical thing. So I'm not trying to sell people on the point of the book, but I did want to say, because I know so many dads are out there, you know, it's just, it's great to like introduce your boys, especially the older they get, to some of these awesome books and movies, and you go through that. And I know everybody probably already does that, but this has been a big year for that. We've knocked out three books, so I don't know what's next. Who can say? But it's never sports, because they're not worried about finding sports books. They want to read about, you know, probably violence,
yeah,
and guy stuff like that, and it's awesome. So
the Roman Empire.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, Sparta. What's more dude than like try telling your wife to read about the 300? You think she can't think of anything she'd rather do less, right? It's dude stuff. But yeah, watching that movie again, I know we got to run, but real fast, the two things about it that jumped out at me, and Brett, of course, was doing a deep dive himself, and he's like, dude, Anton Chigurh, they did this research project, and he didn't even know who did it, but I found it, and he sent it to me, that Business Insider had psychiatrists study 400 movies and identified psychopathic characters, and Anton Chigurh was the most clinically accurate portrayal of a psychopath.
Really?
Yeah, they felt like this one, this is authentic, how crazy he is, and it's perfect. So if you're
I would have guessed American Psycho.
Well, they say Chigurh, and then we start doing the trivia. It's a movie that has a musical score, but almost none. Did you, like, you don't even pick up on it. You're watching it.
Yeah, I never thought about
it. There's just no music to the movie, really. It's just the natural sounds, and it's so Big Bend and West Texas and just so border town gritty and awesome. It's such a good movie, man. And it hits, yeah, we got to run. But it hits that window where for three straight years, the Oscars were just movies that I thought were the best, because 06 was The Departed, then No Country for Old Men in 07, and then Slumdog Millionaire in 08. And I'm just like, try to find three movies together in consecutive years that you're like, this, it's awesome. Anyway, so there you go. There is a meandering book club, Bob's World.
Well, if anybody out there wants to start a book club for illiterates with me,
it just
hit me up.
Big print, comic books, something
yeah,
like that.
Something like that.